Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Welcome to Access Astrology. Hi, my name is Anne Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York. And I am joined here by my compadres every week, and we talk about the aspects in the heavens. And joining me tonight are Heather.
This is Heather Bowen-Robin speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, on the banks of the Mississippi. And just gorgeous weather lately. And Mark.
This is Mark Wolfe in New York City on the bank of the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk tonight about a couple things. We have the eclipse this morning, the Venus eclipse. Or the eclipse of at 15:14 of Gemini, and of course Mercury's out of bounds on that eclipse, making it a little extra heightened energy. And then we also have the Neptune station happening now in our lives. So if you're feeling a little Neptunian, a little need for extra sleep, and then we're also going to talk about the Venus occultation, which is happening tomorrow, which is really powerful and happens once every 256 years. And we're going to talk about the solar flares, because there's a whole pile of them going around up there in the heavens. And we're going to talk about the moon occulting Pluto, which also happens tomorrow. So it is a mighty powerful week here on Earth. Lots and lots going on, as reflected by the heavens above that describe the energies we can anticipate working with. So what do you guys think about that? Any thoughts to launch us off with?
I'm just feeling the emotions cranked up full on people. So many of the eclipse this morning with the moon in Sagittarius. I have seen several clients and family members dealing with sudden news or realization that woke them up, kind of a ripping away of the veil. I said that full moon in Sagittarius speaking truth, and sometimes the truth isn't always so palatable. So I'm asking them not to overreact, because when you hear sudden truth, that hurts. It's uncomfortable, and the emotions are as full on as they are with the sun and Venus. Even if it's in Gemini, which allows us to shift quickly, the sun and Venus are conjunct, and they are conjunct square Mars. So I'm just finding clients and the emotional volume turns up. And if people are in a good mood, they're in a very good mood. If it's, performance art, it's great performance art. If it's, anger or rebellion or sadness, jealousy, all those, they're just cranked away. So that's what I'm seeing as far as this emotional process coming up. It's interesting that Moon-Pluto occultation, I've forgotten about that, because that fits in also with the endings and beginnings in family dynamics that I am seeing. The end of one pattern, the possibility of another. That shift, which I would expect with the Moon-Pluto occultation. Mark, what are you seeing?
When I see the kind of things that we have this week, it reminds me, in a very mechanical sense, how the whole system works. It's really pretty amazing. Because as these planets, including ours, move around, they do form these patterns. And things line up exactly, right? And it has that very mechanical sense to it, because these bodies all have to be in a certain place for that to happen. And they keep going around like clockwork. And we can actually predict. So, if you're looking in ephemeris, you see 100 years ahead of time that this is going to happen. And to me, that's the thing that's the most amazing, is that sure enough, just like the big clock. It all lines up, and we have these occultations. So Venus passes exactly across the face of the sun. The moon passes across the path of Pluto. And then we have the eclipse whenever those happen, the way those things line up. It's really nice. And it's also, it's amazing that it's so predictable. So,
yeah.
Got that. And with the eclipse, with the moon in Sagittarius, sorry, I have a sore throat, I think, from the airplane. Anyway, that Sagittarius full moon eclipse is it's also one where things get pulled together, like ideas. So a lot of little ideas can suddenly come together as kind of the bigger picture in ways that we don't expect. So there's an opportunity for realization, to really see the truth in something.
And I think the whole idea with Gemini and Mercury being out of bounds in Gemini, his favorite sign, he's telling the truth, but it might be a truth that's a little bit past what you want to hear or what you want to see or what you want to even know about, you know. And I know I have a few people that are kind of waiting on medical diagnoses or waiting on test results or having tests done, having biopsies done. And it's, you know, it's the variable. It's like, well, it could be this or it could be that. And if it's this, then we'll do this. And if it's that, then we'll do that. And it's the waiting. And occultations, you know, when we talk about it, one of my students said to me, well, what is an occultation? It's kind of like an eclipse. Because what happens is the energy of the planet gets absorbed or involved with the other energy. So while we in the United States can't actually see the occultation of Venus, in China, where it's still sunlight, when it's going to be sunlight when it's going on, there'll be a picture of Venus, this little black dot traveling across the face of the sun for 6 hours, which is a big long time. But, of course, the last time this happened was 8 years ago. These come in pairs, and then the next time it'll happen will be in 2117. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, folks, that we haven't ever had before. Or we're going to have again, you know, in 117 years when you may not be here. At least I'm not planning on being here. And it's the idea of it is to bring to consciousness, to help us really see our desire. I went to a lecture at UAC where Mark and I both were this last week. And they talked about desire. Ciri is from the stars, that the desire of Venus describes of the stars. Our desires come from above or come from what our Venus is in our chart and speak to us about, well, what do we actually need, want, or what are we trying to get and accomplish? Handsome, get down. And having been away for a whole week, I got a cat that's just, like, all over the phone. Get down, please.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, okay. You know, and he steps on the phone and then it rings buttons. But yeah, so the Venus energy has got a whole lot of stuff going on, and then we're going to have right behind it Moon Pluto occultation, and that's big too because what that does is it really speaks to us about the connecting energy, you know, how we connect deeply, and of course Moon in Capricorn joined with Pluto in Capricorn is very intense. It's got an intense feel to it, so we've got a lot of intense stuff flying around, and then that's not even adding in the Neptune station. Neptune's up to 3. And it's squaring the nodes, right? And so when it squares the nodes, it says to us, okay, it's time to pick your dream. What's your next dream going to be? Where are you going with it? What does it look like? So it's a very...
And in that process, you might have to let...
Might have to what?
Let go of an old dream.
An old dream,
that, you know, picking a new dream sometimes also means what I'm seeing with that Neptune station is reviewing your old dreams and seeing which ones you need to let your dream.
Yeah, which ones don't match anymore. Or don't fit, really. You know, they were good dreams initially, but now it's like, no, not so much. It would be nice, but not so much. Yeah. And so I think that energy is very, very profound. And I think also the full moon brings us back to December of 2010 and the story that started then. Because it's saying, okay, let's wrap up that story now and give it a new vision. And we're seeing it in a different light. We're seeing it in a different way. And he's just right here back on the desk again. He's like, Mom, pet me. Handsome, can I pet you later? So what do you know this eclipse is due to cats?
At that stage.
Right, he's at that stage.
Did he give you the cold shoulder first?
No, yeah, he did. I got the cold shoulder yesterday. Yeah.
You usually get that first.
I got that. Now it's like all over me, like, okay.
Right.
And it's not that they haven't been fed. So it's not like there's no food in the bowl. It's totally not about food, which I guess is a good thing. So,
yeah.
And one of the things that I'm seeing with this, what I see also Venus brings up is, what do we value? What is important to us? What are we too attached to and need to let go of? What are we so attached to that we can create beauty and artwork out of it? How do we bring that creative process into our daily life? Venus is also very much the planet of art and the creative process and living creatively rather than living linearly. And so many questions this week come up where we need to take a more creative approach rather than a linear approach, that logic won't necessarily be the answer, and that we are pushed to wing it, to work with what is and let our creative process sing. And in the process, looking at what is important enough to us that brings our attention and our focus. Now, one question that I got from a client was an email asking us to talk about how that affects our particular lives. Where are we at when we see this Venus-Sun conjunction at 15 degrees, squaring Mars at 16? But where in our chart? I'm seeing that kind of intensifying that part of our chart. And when we see this occultation, it also begins a whole new Venusian cycle. It sets a new Venus point for the next cycle. And it brings up, asking us to look at how we communicate, how our emotions communicate, how do we multitask and multi-track in our lives and network our community together with Venus, the new Venus point in Gemini, really strongly placed by this exact Sun-Venus-Earth lineup, which creates the occultation. But looking at where in our lives, that it's not simple because of the square to Mars and all the other aspects that have been pushing around the edges, as you described, but looking at where in our charts we have that 15 degrees of Gemini. What is it aspect? What is it ring? And what does it activate? And it's pouring, it becomes warm heat onto that point. And that warm heat can be uncomfortably intensifying. I'm seeing people falling in love in ways that are not comfortable to them. Or it can be, just this urge to the creative process, this longing to be refilled by not just more of the same work, but by socializing, by connecting, and by creative process. Where can we be refilled by Venus's gifts? And if we don't, it can hurt. It can the surface of the planet Venus is a hot pink swirling storm. Where are we feeling a little tumultuous and stirred up and feeling like a hot pink swirling storm in our own emotions? And can we find a way of using creative process to unpack that corner and really hear what's going on there?
And how do you recommend people do that?
If they can paint it, draw it, do art therapy, do what is their creative process, write it, sing it, think about what their favorite blues song was and sing along with it, to find ways of drawing what they're feeling and begin to unpack it, see it from a creative aspect rather than from a linear, don't analyze it, express it. Maybe they need to dance it out. Or they might come to understand it when they go dancing. It's like, I need to understand this. Let me move my body in some creative way and see what's in there. What's a creative way for them? It could be going swimming. It could be something where you're not doing it out of discipline or logic, but you're doing it out of a creative response to your world. It could be flower arranging. But you're listening to your muse, and while you're listening to your muse, you're listening to what you're feeling. And that once it's expressed, there's room to maneuver and operate. Until it's had a chance to express, it can really act out. So I think we're going to, we've already seen a fair amount of crimes of passion and craziness this week. We've had 5 cases of cannibalism around the country this week.
Cannibalism?
And
I missed that. What happened?
Cannibalism. People eating people.
Wow.
There was a guy in Canada, there was the guy in Florida who was on some kind of drug and chewed the face off of a homeless man. If you look in the news, there's been 5 cases of cannibalism around the country.
And what's that from?
We don't hear of one in 5 years.
Yeah.
And but people are eating people and are chewing on them in some way. And I think that that's part of the absolute craziness of some of these aspects. The eclipse series, that Mars square, you know, it's spraying the concentration that, and next week, as Mercury goes into Cancer, it will be opposing Pluto and squaring Uranus. And I think if we have any craziness that comes up this week and hasn't acted out, and that we haven't found a place to express it, that will be a hard time. But if we are in tune with what we're feeling, we feel like we've got a place to vent it and a place to express it or explore it, or a place to renew ourselves, not by our inner fights, but by doing something creative or social that meets our needs in a way, Venusian way, other than we normally do, other than our usual work, and we feel renewed and refreshed.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think we can look to the house that Venus is in to look at what is our way of receiving that creative process this time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what kind of Venus do we have? What does it like to do for fun and recreation? Yeah,
exactly.
And really what that is, you know, and for those of you who don't necessarily know where your Venus is in your chart, it's the thing that makes you feel like tingly, you know, when you do it and you feel really good and you go, gee, that makes me feel really good. I love that. I desire more of that, whatever the desire is, you know, assuming it's legal and, you know, safe for you, do it. Because Venus it's about all, there was a, you know, I have a number of pagan friends, and there's a chant, you know, I am the goddess, I am the mother, all acts of pleasure and love are my principle. And I think that's Venusian. It's a very Venus kind of chant where it says, all acts of love and pleasure are what I'm about, I'm Venus. And I think we forget sometimes that you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a lot of stuff. You just have to have a little bit of Venus. And, you know, one of my friends used to call those the millionaire moments. You know, even a millionaire with all his money couldn't have a better day than we're having right now. And we would always laugh, but he was always right. You know, we'd be having a great time laughing and doing whatever. And it really was something that you couldn't purchase, that it was this gift of creative, this gift of laughter, this gift of, you know, singing with the banjo and the guitar around the campfire kind of thing. And, you know, if you're into that and you're doing it, you know, it doesn't cost anything. It's just fun. So I think that energy of Venus and honoring her, especially as she descends into the underworld, because what happens is when she joins the sun, she disappears. And she goes below ground, and she says, I am now a mystery goddess, and I'm going to emerge in a while. You'll be able to see me again.
10 days.
But I'm disappearing now under the world. 10 days? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone.
We'll first start seeing her again as a morning star in about 10 days.
Yeah.
After
yeah. So as she goes away, we kind of go, okay, goodbye, come back. And I did hear, I thought this was interesting at the conference, a couple people said that they thought this was actually the beginning of that whole 2012 stuff, that this occultation, because the Mayans really watched the Venus cycles, that this occulting that we're going through now, because it was such a rare event, is actually the 2012. So who knows, the world could have its major consciousness shift as this happens, because it happens once every couple hundred years. So I thought it was an interesting observation. So that maybe the calendars were wrong.
I think, you know, I think this energy, the energy place that's going into this appreciates, it can help start new channels. I don't know if it's so, I think, I see astrologers constantly looking for, I call it ways of getting out of our homework, you know, like, this will make the difference. And I say, well, it's not going to make the difference in and of itself. This is a Sun-Venus conjunction. It's a more intense one than usual. We go through them every 9 months. But because it's exactly lined up, it's rare and it's unusually strong, but it's something that, it's an energy that we're familiar with. if we use it to help change our consciousness to more loving and more kind and more creative, it would be wonderful. But I think some people will just feel a little extra emotional and that'll be it. So I think with these aspects like this, they can be era-changing for us if we choose to work with them. This whole lineup is, you know, as long as, you know, Uranus and Pluto are square, that the symbols of those are, hey, the world is shifting and changing left and right. This is one of the many things that gets triggered, you know, now since 2015, that Uranus Pluto square. But so I ask everybody to do that, you know. What Anne says, take the idea in your mind that it could be era-changing for you and era-changing in a more loving and more creative way. Now go look and see how you can make that happen.
Right. Be the change. Act it out in your life. Say, this is what I'm looking for. Let me see. We'll give out our phone number, too. We haven't done that yet today. We do have some people, and again, I'm not even going to give the number out because we got enough of them that we're not going to get through them all. So I will start with 760. Hello, 760-564. You're on the air. Can we help? Any questions, comments? Hi.
Hi. Was that Handsome I heard in the background just a minute ago?
That's Handsome you're hearing in the background. He's sitting here on the desk making noise. He's a wonderful cat, but he's very chatty tonight. Tom?
My birthday is 11/5. I'm sorry, what? 11/5/1965.
11/5/1965. And what time?
8 a.m.
Okay. And where?
Upland, California.
Okay. And did you have a question?
I listened to your show on last night, and specifically, I guess this week and the end of the month, I just was kind of curious. You guys talked about how major it was going to be. I just was curious how it was placed in my chart and what effects it was going to have on my chart.
Okay. November 5/65, 8 in the morning. Okay. The one, the eclipse we just had a couple days ago should have been pretty major because it was right on your nodes of fate and right on your... you're having what's called a nodal reversal. So there's a lot of activity going on in your relationship house for the last year and a half anyway. And so now you get to find out the exciting conclusion of that story. So I think that's probably one of the most profound. And because your Uranus-Pluto is so high in your chart, to be top at the top, when we get to the last week of June and we have Uranus and Pluto squaring each other from the house of your value and your worth to the house of home and family, you're going to be really undergoing major, major, profound changes. Your chart's really set up for this huge shift. And with the Sun, Neptune in general, you know, there's kind of a spiritual call, you know, so you should be feeling it on a pretty strong level that you're just kind of like, wow, what's that going? There's like all this cooking stuff in the background. Yes? Is that how you've been running?
No, actually, it's been dead as a doornail, and I've just kind of been...
You're restless, though.
I'm very restless.
Your life has been going through so much. When she said, she didn't say your life was going to be going woo-woo, she said you were going woo-woo, that your energy looks like it's revving a bit, and why the dead as a doornail would really be getting to you. But you just come out of some really intense transits over the last couple of years, while Uranus sat on your moon, and Pluto opposed, lineups in your chart. You know, Pluto's been cooking your chart. Uranus has been cooking your chart. You've got your progressed Sun just entered Capricorn about a week or two ago, and it's now opposing your natal Jupiter in the house of partnership. And that's where this lineup with Venus is right now. It's in your house of partnership, and Mars is right on your midheaven. So there is the opportunity. Again, these are aspects that you have to work with, that says if you get out, you have such approach avoidance conflict in your chart about being visible. You've got that Sun, Neptune in the 12th, but you've got Mercury, South Node, Venus and Mars and Sagittarius in the 1st. So part of you wants to go connect and rate a role and deal with the world, and part of you wants to be hidden and private and quiet. And sometimes that can leave you stuck at the crossroads. You either quite fully inside, out there engaging. But this aspect, this week, is going to set up a resonance for new people to come into your life if you open to it. Because the Venus occultation is happening in your seventh house, and Uranus is right on your midheaven. So you've got, for the next few months, opportunities out there in the world, in work situations or anything that takes you out into the public eye to bring in new people, to network, to connect, to find new people to work with. If you decide to be seen and you can send a clear message out, I'm willing to engage to get somewhere with these people. It's easier for you to do that on something that isn't terribly personal, something that's more metaphysical or international or, you know, educational rather than is about yourself personally. You need to trust people to let them see that inner world. And your chart isn't really set up for trust, but it is set up for, you know, wanting to engage in adventure. So I think what Anne was talking about is that you will find kind of itchy and quiet a while ago, now maybe too dead, because there's part of you that's really getting ready to engage.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. These are pretty strong things. Are you seeing these transits show up in other people's lives where you're really being a witness to other people going through a lot of stuff? You know, because sometimes when actors, you know, they have long, strong transits, but it's actually people in their lives that are going through really interesting times, and they're playing the role of that. You know, so sometimes with a chart like this, with the Sun Neptune, you can experience it through others. Because these are pretty big transits you've got going, and that nothing's going on. I'm like, really? Nothing? Wow. Because then it's got to be being played out someplace else, because they are so strong.
I have three good friends that have been going through some major crises, but they seem to have all gotten past their dilemmas within the last 6 weeks or so. So
maybe you were being the person helping them and then doing a more internal journey yourself? Was that how it showed up? Like by listening to their...
They have been learning from their experience.
Yeah.
And so now that those responsibilities are done, now you're ready for a new take to take off. Yeah.
And also, I'm a CPA, so tax season just got over, too.
Right. Yeah, that always is fun. Yeah. I have to go underground for a couple of months, and I get to emerge in a while. Yeah.
Right. Right. So... energy was sent there.
Sent over in that area, yeah. Mark, what do you notice?
Well, it can be that you're just rooted very solidly in your space, and you're seeing these energies all shifting around you. But if that's the case, make some real inquiries. as to what you can learn from what other people are going through. So you'll learn what they have to say about it, but then also bring it a little bit inside and say, okay, I see what the story is for them, and what is it for me? It's a little bit like when you read a novel that you really relate to strongly.
Right.
It's not, your story. It's the characters in the novel, but it resonates with something in you. And what's the most interesting is your life. So, that's going to be the work for you.
Yeah. And it could have been a lot of the, working and processing and helping other people with the Sun in the 12th, that you've been more of a witness. You know, a lot of times people with that placement have a witnessing quality. You know, they represent others. So...
We have to tie up.
The British lady spoke. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with it. Keep us posted. Let us know if something exciting does happen.
Yeah.
Because those eclipses are big in your chart, so.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So,
And for anybody, when we talk about one person's chart, we're giving them specific advice, but you can hear how the patterns act out and extrapolate how it could be happening. And if you... Want to find out more? Go see our websites, and the addresses are on our blurb on the Access Astrology site.
Right.
So I'm signing off here from New York, from St. Paul. I wish it was New York tonight. From St. Paul,
you miss us. You want to come back to New York.
I do miss you.
Yeah.
So have a wonderful week.
Yeah. Have a great week, folks. And just remember, it is an eclipse. It will be over soon. And it really does tend to heighten emotional responses. So if somebody loses it around you, just kind of sit them down in a corner and, you know, don't take it personally, but just understand that the information is coming your way because you need to know it. And then you get to decide what you want to do with it down the road a piece. So that's my advice on how to handle it. And I'm Ann Ortley in my bright red desk with Handsome, the cat who's going to be on my lap in about 30 seconds, I predict. And I can make that as an accurate prediction. And Mark?
Yeah. Mark Waltz, New York City. Okay, thanks for listening.
Yep. So we'll see you all next week. Take care. Bye.
Yeah.